it, mate. Happy Groundhog's Day. I bet you weren't expecting to see me. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Today is Groundhog's Day. It's Thursday. And Patrick was supposed to do a show with Filbert. But Mark Collin, he canceled on Monday. And so the Thursday show became the Monday show, and now there's no Thursday show. And Patrick comes to me and he says he needs me to fill in. And I say, I can't fill in. It's Groundhog Day. Don't you know that? I mean, it's Groundhog Day. This morning I had, before dawn, I had the governor of Pennsylvania comes to Punxsutawney, and he reaches into my burrow with his Jew hands. Josh Shapiro, he reaches in, pulls me out, trying to see if I'm going to see my shadow and freak out. Well, I tell you what, I did freak out. I freaked out, but it wasn't because I saw my shadow. It's because I saw John Fetterman standing there, and I didn't want him to pick me up and drop me, just like that crazy mayor of New York dropped my cousin, Staten Island Sam, who dropped him on his head, and he died. That's a groundhog murderer. So I didn't want that to happen. So I freaked out, and I ran back into my burrow. So when you hear that we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter, don't blame it on me. It is not my fault. Anyway, so I do not want to do a show today. I told that to Patrick, but Patrick, he didn't listen. He said, I have to do this show. And we got to arguing, because I did that second annual Whitey's Award, the Goyim's Choice Award. We did that at the beginning of last month. And I don't know if you all heard that, but that was a very, very good show. That was on January... Well, that was New Year's Eve or January 1st. You go back in the archives, you'll find it. It was a very, very good show. And that was the second annual Goyim's Choice Awards, except it wasn't. It was not the second annual Goyim's Choice Awards. This is what I found out. It was the second and a half annual Goyim's Choice Awards, because the second annual Goyim's Choice Awards was 3 years ago at the beginning of the coronapocalypse. And Richard Sloan flew out from Australia to do his show in the Kosher-tified amphitheater with Patrick. And they did the show. They did the show. And then Patrick lost the tape. Can you believe that? He lost the tape of them doing the show. But, and this is the thing. It is a big but. It is a Nicki Minaj size but. But there was a rehearsal of the show. And the rehearsal was recorded. And they found that tape. Now, it's a little bit weird, because they're rehearsing the jokes. They don't have the jokes ready. And the audience seems distracted. The audience, because I think they had Annalena Ballerina, the foreign minister of Germany, and she was jumping on a trampoline. And people were distracted, and they were watching that. It was a girl jumping on a trampoline. Can you believe that? So, anywho. What we are going to do right now, because I am not going to be talking for the whole hour. It is Groundhog Day. I'm going back into my burrow. I will come back out again at the end of the show. But you can listen to the dress rehearsal of the second annual Goyim's Choice Awards from 3 years ago. I wonder what they're going to be talking about. It's such a long time ago. You know how many groundhog years that is? That is like 38 groundhog years. That is a long time ago. So, I will be back. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second annual Goyim's Choice Awards, the Whiteys!
Yay!
We are here at the Kosher-tified Amphitheater because no other venue was big enough. Last year, we needed a place big enough for all the Jews who run the media. And Dodger Stadium was not big enough. The Rose Bowl was not big enough. But the good people at Kosher-tified built this beautiful amphitheater in order to accommodate all the Jews who run the media. And here we are again. Some people thought it couldn't be, but it is. And we are here to give out Whitey Awards to people and things who have come to our attention. What's the first thing that came... Oh, I guess I'm supposed to start?
if you can, but okay. If not, if you can. So yes, we're here. We finally found a place where we could assemble. We had a lot of trouble assembling in places because of something called COVID-19.
Oh, the social distancing. Oh, you should see the social distancing that we've got going on here in the co-certified amphitheater. It's very social and it's very distant. Well, shall we get into the first category?
We may as well jump into it.
The first category. You know, there is something else going on this year that a lot of people thought about, forgot about,
yep,
besides the pandemic, and that is it's a presidential election. Did you know we have a presidential election going on this year?
How are we going to get into voting booths, though? You got to leave 2 meters between each person when you assemble anywhere, and that's not going to work for polling places, is it?
Well, they've thought of everything, and so mail-in ballots and internet voting, maybe, you know?
That's a foolproof. What an ingenious idea.
It is foolproof. And you know something? You know how they have automatic voter registration at driver's license bureaus?
Yep.
They're going to expand that to other facilities, and there will be automatic voter registration at morgues.
Wow, that sounds convenient. These are brilliant ideas. I wish we white people could take credit for them, but I don't think any whiteys are going out for these innovations.
I don't think so either. But our first whitey award, our first category is election related. And this is, drum roll please, the most awesome quotes from Joe Biden that totally prove he's not senile.
Oh, that's a good one.
And the first quote is, poor kids are just as smart as white kids. We might actually just play the clip.
Okay.
Play the clip. The second nominee is, you know, the thing. Oh, we forgot to introduce ourselves. I'm Patrick Slattery.
Yep. And you're Patrick Slattery.
Oh,
and
I thought I was Patrick Slattery.
You are Patrick Slattery. I think you still are. I'm Dr. Richard Sloan.
Professor.
Professor, sorry. Yes, I'm Professor Richard Sloan. Shall we do it again? Hi, everyone. I'm Professor Richard Sloan, and with me is Dr. Slattery, and welcome to the second annual Whitey Awards. And we're here, and we're as white as we've always been, and we're getting ready to give away some red-hot Whiteys to some of the most important white people and white things and other stuff that we think we want to give awards to, right?
That's right. And I might even be whiter than I was last year.
Is that right? Why is that? Because you've been locked down.
Yes, and a lack of sunshine. Lack of sunshine. Totally lack of sunshine. Anyway, the most awesome quotes from Joe Biden that totally prove he's not senile. Next one. You know the thing. Professor Sloan, do you know what the thing is?
I'm not sure.
Well, he was quoting from the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or whatever, and he was talking about these inalienable rights that were granted by, you know, the thing.
Oh, yeah, so that piece of paper that had those amendments attached to it.
I think he was talking about God. You know, the thing, the creator. I can get that. I can get the quote. Okay, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, I have a Joe Biden one myself, but I'll wait till do it later in the show so we can mix it up.
Okay.
I think it's time to go ahead and introduce one of the honky nominees just because to get a rhythm going. So
I wasn't done with this category.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Next.
Go ahead.
Next nominee. Leave the record player on. That's how you make your poor kids as smart as white kids, is leaving the record player on at night.
Right. He meant internet, or he meant iPhones or podcasts or something, I assume. But
I have no idea. Nobody knows what he meant.
Right.
And the final entry is, Corn Pop was a bad dude.
He was a bad dude, yes. I think Corn Pop may actually be Joe's running mate, right?
I think he's going to be the Secretary of State. I'm not sure. It's one or the other. And the winner is, Corn Pop was a bad dude. Corn Pop, come up and get your whitey.
And then there will be sounds of corn popping and cheers and...
He's gonna make a speech. I got a speech for that. Okay. The speech is gonna be after this MMA fight. There was this like big black wrestler, and Joe Rogan. You know Joe Rogan. He says, because like after the match, he took his pants off, and so I was like, you know, hey Fred, why'd you take your pants off? Because my balls was hot. And he's talking, and at the end of his spiel, he says, "Shit," and I've used it because it's like totally ebonic. Anyway, so that'll be corn pop. All right, next category.
Right. Well, we're going to start now introducing the first of what will be four nominations for the best honky in a supporting role. And the first clip, I'm getting ready to play it. Have a listen. Dr. Slattery, I assume you know who that was.
That sounded like Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck.
It was actually Joe Pesci. Let's hear it one more time. And I assume you know what Martin Scorsese film that's from.
Scarface?
The answer is all of them, up until and including The Last Temptation of Christ, though that particular line was dropped from the last film as Scorsese decided he wanted to recast the title role.
Wasn't The Last Temptation of Christ Mel Gibson?
Yes. Joe Pesci didn't work. No. You're not thinking of The Last Temptation of Christ. You're thinking of Passion of the Christ, is the Mel Gibson movie.
I guess Joe Pesci wasn't passionate enough.
No, he wasn't passionate enough. But Joe Pesci was in the Martin Scorsese movie The Irishman, and he backed up Robert De Niro in a semi-true story of the disappearance of Union leader Jimmy Hoffa. And it's a well-told story, and it's worth taking a look at. And so Joe Pesci is the first best honky in a supporting role nominee, and we'll have another one in a little while. And now we'll move along to another award. I see you've got a whitey there in your hand, Dr. Slattery.
Oh, do I have a whitey in my hand? Okay.
And this one is a little bit of an unusual one. Before I read the actual category, I'm going to read the nominees. The nominees are powdered eggs, Play-Doh, and pulmonary arthritis. Powdered eggs, Play-Doh, and pulmonary arthritis. And Dr. Slattery, do you know what the actual category for this award is?
I think you left out one of the nominees.
What was the other one?
The other nominee should be how my day starts every day.
And with powdered eggs, Play-Doh, and pulmonary arthritis?
No, with a P.
Oh, with a P.
Things that start with a P. My day every day. Sorry. I don't know if I want to keep that in there.
You could. You've got it. You can keep it or you can lose it. Anyway, no, Dr. Slattery, they're not things that start with a P. These are three things that, to date, Hillary Clinton has not yet blamed as partly responsible for her 2016 loss to Donald Trump. So powdered eggs, Play-Doh, and pulmonary arthritis, which of these is most likely to hold on to its reign, to remain as the thing that Hillary Clinton will not blame for the loss to Donald Trump?
That's tough. That is tough. Okay.
It is tough. Actually, I've just opened the envelope, and I find that we cannot give out an award this year, because when our judges went to ask Hillary Clinton which of these three she was more likely to blame in the future, she blamed our judges for helping her to lose to Donald Trump in 2016, chased him away, and so we still don't know. So we'll have to wait another year and see which of these things lasts the longest.
Chase them away with her broomstick, by the way, because that's how she gets around these days, is riding her broomstick. That's how she gets around, riding a broomstick. And not the cute way, like Elizabeth Montgomery on Bewitched. But like a really haggardy way, like the in The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Because you have to admit that at least in that cartoon, in the intro to Bewitched, that cartoon Elizabeth Montgomery was pretty cute riding that broomstick, don't you think?
She was pretty cute, and while we're on the subject, I have a whitey in my hand now, and I think you're going to read the category and list the nominees for this one.
All right. So the next category is the best new lockdown star. And the nominees are Andrew Nipples Cuomo, the governor of New York.
Yes. Yes, his nipples made quite a stir, didn't they?
His nipples, there are a lot of questions about them, and I don't really want to get into them.
Okay.
I find it distasteful and beneath my dignity, but as a public service, You know, we have to bring it out. We have to bring them forward as a public service.
Bring those nipples forward.
Which is what he was doing also. All right. Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yep, go ahead. Dr. Anthony Fauci.
What's going on with that dude anyway?
Well, I don't know. He changes his tune. He goes from one extreme to the other, doesn't he?
Well, you know, supposedly he's been in his post since 1982 as the leader of, oh, what is the name of his organization? It's something to do with yard gnomes.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know that organization.
I think if you take off the hat from a yard gnome, you'll find Dr. Fauci there. All right.
Well, in 1982, you and I were both alive, and when we got into the 90s, you and I were both young, strapping men who were going out looking for women, but we were scared to make time with any girls because Dr. Fauci was telling us that we all could possibly die of AIDS, that it was a disease that affected everybody, regardless of sexual orientation. And then when we got too old to get the best girls and we found out that that was all a big lie, we were kind of miffed, weren't we?
Well, we got the best girls, didn't we?
Did we? Maybe we did. But it was harder because of people like Fauci.
At least that's the story we have to tell our wives.
Okay. But because of Fauci helping to spread these falsehoods about the nature of AIDS and politicizing the disease in order to raise more money for it, a lot of people were inconvenienced during that time.
Now, Fauci, by the way, that's an Italian name, right? It's not Jewish.
It is an Italian name, yes.
So are you telling me that the Jewish doctors took away our foreskins, and then this Italian doctor made it so it didn't matter anyway? It was all a moot point?
The Italian doctor helped to make it so it didn't matter for some people, yes.
Okay. Well, moving on. That
because it sort of seemed to foreshadow something that's come to the fore. Speaking of foreskin, it's come to the fore right here in 2020. Now we've got this other disease, and is it really as bad as everybody's saying, or has it been politicized?
Has it been? Next nominee, Sanjay Gupta. Is that a Jewish name?
I don't think so.
Is it an Italian name?
I don't think so.
Who the heck is that guy anyway?
Sounds a little Indian to me.
Okay, he's on CNN all the time. All the time. Which is a, you know, it's a...
Well, CNN's a Jewish name.
It is a Jewish name, yeah. CNN, the Cuomo News Network, the Corona News Network. And the last nominee is Governor Gretchen Slutmore of Michigan.
Ah, yes, sir.
Yeah.
None of the people in the audience today have tomatoes to throw at us because of her. She's got that section of the gardening. She's got the seeds section blocked off.
Now that makes sense. I didn't understand what that was all about, but okay, that makes sense now. And the winner is. Who's the winner? Don't you have the envelope?
Oh, it's Dr. Fauci. Sorry about that. I had the whitey in one hand, and I was doing something with my other hand. I had my champagne glass in the other hand.
Dr. Fauci, scamper up to the podium and get your whitey. Okay, what's
next? Okay, so moving on to the next category. The next award will be for the public figure with the most apropos last name. So that's the person that you've heard about, a person who's a public figure, who has the most appropriate or most fitting last name.
Okey-dokey.
The first nominee is the appropriator of mediocre operating systems and other technology, who is probably best known for devising a 25-digit code key that locks consumers out of the software packages they have purchased until they are able to produce the key. Now, perhaps you know who I'm talking about. More recently, he's come up with a digital barrier that will prevent people from leaving their homes unless a biomicrochip is satisfied that they've had their vaccinations. This appropriately named entrepreneur is, of course, Bill Gates.
Oh, my God, you just blew my mind. Whoosh.
The second nominee is the Wuhan-based virologist that has assured the Western media that there is absolutely no way that COVID-19 could have come from her BSL-4 bioresearch lab or be in any way linked to controversial experiments that may have been performed there. This is, of course, Dr. Zhengyi Shir, and she's absolutely sure that the virus didn't come from her lab. Sure.
Hey, how about sure? Me sure follow, ma.
Sure.
They say we're young and we don't
know, won't find out. Biden takes classified documents seriously. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at mystore.com to save money on American-made products from American companies. President Biden takes classified documents so seriously that he had at least one in his garage. Just for a minute, let's forget that a former vice president shouldn't have classified materials. Let's ignore the hypocrisy of Biden's statements regarding Trump having classified materials at Mar-a-Lago, where there are Secret Service. What I want to know is, why were attorneys clearing out an office at the UPenn think tank? Lawyers cost hundreds of dollars an hour. Two guys and a truck would have been infinitely cheaper. Were the lawyers there because they expected to find something like this? Maybe the attorneys were there just so that there would be attorney-client privilege in place. The presence of lawyers doing a job that a couple of teenagers could do is intriguing, to say the least. Now that the story is out, I have many questions, but the White House press secretary has refused to answer a single one put to her. Hopefully, the new special counsel will have better luck. Find more news and commentary at liberty-alighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum. Hello, I'm Peter Serafin, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
Dr. Jamie Shearer, and she's absolutely sure that the virus didn't come from her lab. Sure.
Sure, sure, sure. Hey, how about sure? Ni
sure
fang ma?
Sure,
sure. Sure. Wait, okay, what is next?
The third nominee is the California governor who strong-armed lawmakers to write him a check for $495 million the day he announced the shutdown so that he could buy masks from China, who the next day told President Trump that 22.4 million Californians could contract COVID-19 if $1 billion in federal funds weren't released to that state, and who on April 21st revealed that already California taxpayers are obligated to spend $7 billion, U.S. dollars and counting, in response to the pandemic. This person is, of course, Gavin Newsom, because he keeps coming up with a new sum.
Wow.
The fourth nominee, oh, great, I can never read this guy's name. It's, how do you say it? Pete Buttigay? Butter Gag?
But he's gay.
Peter Egg Up the Butt? I don't know. But anyway, that queer bend over South Indiana guy.
He's from South Indiana. He's bending over South Indiana.
Bending over South, and he's from India. You know, Pete, whatever, that guy. Peter Butter Bitter, whatever. The fifth nominee is the winner of the 1971 Academy Award for Fiddler Off the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof, I'm sorry. The winner of the 1971 Academy Award for Fiddler on the Roof. and he also directed the 1999 film Hurricane, which distorted facts to wrongly suggest that Reuben Hurricane Carter was innocent of the triple homicide he was convicted of and was instead framed by an evil, racist white cop. So this famous director, who directed Fiddler on the Roof and also directed a lot of anti-white racist films, his name, of course, is, you may know him, Dr. Slattery,
no.
Norman Jewison. Norman Jewison. And the sixth nominee, he's not a king, but he's the closest thing white nationalists have to royalty, the Duke of Truth, Freedom, and Real Racism, David Duke. I think you might have heard of him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I met
him. Those are our six nominees for the most apropos last name. And the winner is... Oh, it's that whatever Peter Battered, Buttered, Faggot, beep, boop, beep, beep, whatever, that guy.
Ew, gross.
Well, now you've got to give him his whitey, Dr. Slattery.
Well, fortunately, I've got white gloves and a protective mask, which I'm going to don.
Okay.
Pete, but I'm gay. Come get your whitey. Okay. I can have a clip of him thanking the crowd or something. All right. I guess it's my turn.
It's your turn, yes.
Okay.
How many more do you have?
Oh, I have three more that are ready to go.
Okay.
Then other categories that I don't have nominees yet.
Okay. All right, so I got three more, you got three more, so we should be all right. Okay, so your turn. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you know when they used to do those taste test comparisons between Coke and Pepsi, and then in between you'd have to have a cracker to clear your palate?
Sometimes they drink this weird green liquid, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, because of Pete Buttigieg coming up on the stage, I feel we've really got to kind of clear the palate. So, the next...
Cleanse the palate, right? Cleanse the palate.
Whatever.
Yep.
The next category is the hottest new female politician. And...
Okay.
The nominees are... Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard. I got my hand on a whitey for her right here.
that sounds lewd.
I mean, a whitey award that she may be presented if she takes the award. If she chooses to accept the award.
Yes, indeed.
If we award her the award and she chooses to come in person to accept it.
I think this is going to be hard.
Okay.
Next nominee. And this is a new one. New on the scene. Kim Yo-jung. The cute little sister of the illustrious leader, the revered leader.
Is she a world leader yet?
It's just politician. They don't have to be elected yet.
Okay.
They don't have to be in office. So, Kim Yo-jung, she is in the Politburo of the North Korean Workers Party.
We're going to have to go to the DMZ to present her with the award if she wins this one, though, aren't we?
We can do that. We can do that. Or we can... maybe have Co-Certify build a special train track from North Korea all the way to Hollywood.
Right.
Next
up... Wait, just give it to that black basketball guy.
Oh, Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman will get it to her. There you go.
Dennis Rodman, all right. Next nominee. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Really? Really? Do you see it?
I don't see it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see. I have here on the list Noda Seiko, but I think that is kind of esoteric, so maybe we'll skip her.
Well, if we don't skip her, we should call her Seiko Noda.
Okay. Seiko Noda. Maybe... Is she past her shelf life?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I would say, no, she's not past her shelf life.
If Joe Biden's not past his shelf life, nobody is.
That's right. No, she's not past her. She is still cute. And she may be Prime Minister of Japan sooner than we think. While we're on the prime ministers, we got two more prime ministers here. We have former prime minister of Ukraine, Julia Tymoshenko. She's the one with the fancy braids on her hair.
Okay. Her name is spelt beginning with a J, but isn't it pronounced with a Y or not?
I tried to. I couldn't do it. Julia Tymoshenko. Okay. Julia Tymoshenko. And finally, and this might be new to a lot of people, the new prime minister of Finland, 34-year-old Sanna Marin.
Sana. I guess.
Pretty cute.
Swole me.
Hey, there is some stiff competition there.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
And finally, and this might be new to a lot of people, the new Prime Minister of Finland, 34-year-old Sanna Marin.
Sanna, I guess so.
Pretty cute.
Swami, Swami.
Hey, there is some stiff competition there.
Okay.
Do you have the envelope?
Yes. And I have the winner here. I'm going to pass it over to you. I'm going to let you have the honor of announcing it.
And the winner is... Oh, this is going to be awkward. My ex-girlfriend, Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh.
Ooh, this is awkward.
Well, she can surf in and get her whitey.
I was kind of rooting for Kim Yo-jong, because that's some fresh new talent there.
She's from the best Korea, right?
She is from the best Korea.
Okay.
Yeah, and very cute. Very cute.
Okay. But the not best Korea claims that it'll be a while before we see her as great leader.
We'll see. But she will be the great leader in our hearts.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do you have a category?
Before we go on to the next category, let's announce our next nominee for Best Honky in a Supporting Role. It comes from this film. And I'm sure all of our listeners who are not viewing the live video of the Whitey Awards will appreciate that audio, and you can tell from listening to it exactly what it is.
Super Mario Brothers.
Not quite. This is Brad Pitt trading kung fu blows with an actor named Mike Mo, who plays Bruce Lee in a recent Quentin Tarantino film called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, there was a lot of scandal and confusion regarding this scene, so I need to explain to those that haven't seen the film that the Brad character, despite rumors, did not single-handedly knock out a 1,000-man kung fu army, okay? A lot of people were panicking about this, and a lot of people were calling it absurd, and I admit that would have been kind of absurd. But what actually happens in the film, and I'm going to ruin this one scene for people who haven't seen the movie, is that Brad Pitt plays a stuntman. And he's on a set with Bruce Lee, and he gets challenged to a friendly fight. So the smaller Bruce Lee stands up, Brad Pitt stands up, but the smaller guy, Bruce Lee, knows kung fu, and so he knocks Brad Pitt down. Brad Pitt gets up, this time he's ready, and he picks up the Bruce Lee character, and he throws him against a car. And then they're sparring a little more, but then the fight gets broken up. So that's all that happens. And the other 999 knockouts were pearl-clutching Bruce Lee fans falling out of their seats and into the theater aisles because this deity named Bruce Lee actually was knocked down very, very slightly and momentarily by a white guy in a movie.
Wow.
And now when you called me, I was right about to look something else up, so I'm afraid you're going to have to cut this out. But okay. There's somebody named Sharon Lee, who's Bruce Lee's daughter, I believe.
Okay.
And I want to read her quote because it was just so absurd. Have you heard about this?
No.
I can't. I'm seeing other stuff, and then things are popping up in the way, and I'm not getting it. So maybe when we do our retakes, I'll read the quote from her. But she just had some quote about how this one scene ruined her whole life. And destroyed her whole relationship with her father forever afterward because, you know, some fictional white man in a fictional movie knocked down an actor that was supposed to be playing her father.
Well,
and he had to work twice as hard because he wasn't white.
Well, remember, if you remember the Batman show where they met the Green Hornet and Robin and Bruce Lee got into a fight and it was a tie.
Yeah.
And Bruce, what's the guy's name? Bruce Ward, not Bruce, something Ward. The actor, who's the actor that played Robin?
I can't think of his name. I don't know.
And Bruce Ward was terrified. Okay.
I don't think this is the best quote, but just to finish up on this, I'm going to go back to saying what I was saying. So the last thing I said was I explained how, you know, all the pearl-clutching Bruce Lee fans fell into the aisles and rolled over. And there was this big controversy about how a actor playing a white man had dared to push over Bruce Lee. And even Bruce Lee's daughter began to make the Hollywood circuit and give interviews. And she said things like, they didn't need to treat him the way that white Hollywood did when he was alive. He was someone who had to fight triple as hard as any of those other people to accomplish what was naturally given so many others. So Bruce Lee, who was born without white privilege, this isn't her now talking, this is me, had to work so much harder, and it's such a tragedy, and it took away my... She had some quote that had toilet paper in it, but I couldn't find it. You know, it was like flushing my relationship with my father down the toilet. Anyways, we'll do pickups and I'll give you the quote, but it was a quote, something like that. Anyway, so the second nominee for Best Honky in a Supporting Role is Brad Pitt. And now let's go on to the next Whitey that we're going to give away. Have you got it ready there, Dr. Slattery?
Oh, okay.
Polish off the Whitey and I'll read the question.
All right. So I've got the Whitey.
The nominee is, what is Joe Biden's best strategy for taking the presidency in the November 2020 elections? And the first nominee is, continually remind voters that his last box was a black guy.
Mm-hmm. That seems to work in California. I'm sorry. That seems to work in South Carolina.
Yep, could. So once again, the category is, what is Joe Biden's best strategy for taking the presidency in the November 2020 elections? And the second nominee is, call Donald Trump a dog-faced lying pony soldier.
Oh, that should have been in the other category as one of the nominees.
Well, there's so many quotes. When you were reading those three, I thought there were a million others that you could have dipped into.
Hey, and feel free to send them to me.
Okay. And the third nominee for what is Joe Biden's best strategy for taking the presidency in the November 2020 elections is appoint an electable running mate, then die suddenly of coronavirus on October 27th.
I think that would work. That would work. That would definitely work.
Yes, and let's open the envelope here. And the winner is number three, but... Reading deeper into the letter here, it seems that our judges point out that a better stratagem would probably be to die on November 4th, but to be in an ICU and on a ventilator as of late October. Unfortunately, that strategy is currently locked down in its home state, so collecting the ward in its place will be the die suddenly of coronavirus strategy. So let's have that strategy come up and collect its whitey.
So who should I invite up?
Well, that's the joke, is the strategy goes up.
And here to accept the award for the strategy is the strategy's refrigerator. I understand that this is its strategy's favorite refrigerator. This is the refrigerator in which the strategy stores its cola and its Twinkies and its non-kosher certified snacks.
No. Okay. No, that's going a different way, but okay. How many more do you have? You got one more?
I think I got two more.
Okay. So let's hear your next one.
Okay. I guess I'll do this one. The next category is the lamest excuse for the lockdown. There are a lot of excuses for this lockdown. Which is the lamest?
I didn't know they have any excuses. I thought it was just COVID-19. Nobody wants to get sick.
Nobody wants to get sick. That's a lame excuse in itself.
Yes.
The first nominee is to stick it to Big Line. Do you know what Big Line is?
Big Line is the stock market, the investments, the portfolios, funds.
This will stick it to Big Line. Yeah. So we've got to lock down the economy. We've got to destroy the economy because that'll shake the stock market. Yeah. The next nominee is to stick it to Big Shlomo.
Okay.
We destroy the economy. You know what's going to happen? All of society is going to come apart. And from the ashes, we are going to build a new white ethnostate. I don't know. Okay. The next one. Oh, and this nomination was sent in by the Surgeon General himself.
And that's a nice guy, that Surgeon General.
He's a nice guy. And he just wanted to protect Big Mama.
Yep. And Pop-Pop.
And Pop-Pop. Pop-Pop.
Not Corn Pop, mind you, but Pop-Pop.
What's wrong with Corn Pop? Why would you want to... Do you want Corn Pop to die from coronavirus?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Okay. And the last one. For the children. And the winner is... Oh, my goodness. The winner is all of them. They are all very lame excuses for the lockdown.
Yep. Okay. Maybe later in the show we'll find out what the best excuse for lockdown is.
Maybe we'll find that out. I'm going to withhold this Whitey Award until we can resolve this issue. What's the next category?
Okay, next category. You're going to have to follow with me because there's some Dr. Slattery banter that comes later in it.
Okay.
I'll talk for quite a while, but then you'll have to jump in.
I'll be ready.
Okay, so the next category one more time. Let me start from the beginning. The next category is the deadest political figure that still made headlines in 2020. The deadest political figure, that's the most dead political figure that still made headlines in 2020. And the nominees are Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's the Supreme Court justice that many believe expired in 2019, if not earlier. According to some theorists, Ms. Ginsburg's handlers are maintaining the illusion that she's still alive by writing opinions on her behalf remotely, and occasionally wheeling out her corpse for photo ops, as suggested by the film Weekend at Bernie's. These theories hold that the goal would be to keep the jurist on ice until the next Democrat ascends to the Oval Office. Apparently, the public has not yet caught on, because Ms. Bader looked not unlike a rotting corpse even when she was alive.
True, very true.
The second nominee for deadest political figure that still made headlines in 2020 is Kim Jong-un. Yes. This is the third Kim that North Korea has had in less than a century. But we have to remember that Kim Jong-un was no young'un. He was already in his late 30s, and even though, according to official North Korean records, he had lived his entire life without passing gas, he has long seemed slightly above his ideal weight. Actually, Dr. Slattery, that could be because he lived his whole life without passing gas.
He must be floating.
In any event, there have been false rumors about Kim Jong-un's health before. But last week, Pyongyang issued a report stating that the latter was in very good shape following a short trip to the hospital for some sort of surgery. And this led the American CIA to determine that, of course, he must have died. Now, the South Koreans maintain that Kim is alive and well, though TV doctors in the U.S. have noted that the North Korean leader does have a very large neck, smokes 4 packs of cigarettes a day, and eats a lot of cheese.
He just doesn't cut it.
Yeah, that's right. He apparently does not cut the cheese. Anyway, the third nominee for deadest political figure that still made headlines in 2020 is Elizabeth Warren. This is, of course, the one-time Democratic favorite whose campaign seemed to fizzle after she streamed a live video from her kitchen and said to viewers, "I'ma get me a beer." Actually, I hadn't even heard rumors that she was...
Hey, sorry to interrupt, Professor, but could you repeat the name of that third nominee?
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren.
How do you spell that last name?
W-A-R-R-E-N. You know, Pocahontas?
No, I can't place it.
Well, I guess she really is dead. Anyway, here's the envelope. And the deadest political figure that still made headlines in 2020 is Elizabeth Warren. Unfortunately, Elizabeth Warren could not be here tonight, as no one that we contacted seems to remember who she was. We also reached out to the Native American community, but they chose not to send a representative. Instead, however, accepting Ms. Warden's award...
Wait. You said Warren, right? You said Warren the first time.
I did?
I think so.
Okay, well, whatever, I can't remember, but accepting Ms. W's award on her behalf, we instead have 3 POC representatives from the African-American community. We have Sean Smith. Did you have something to say about Sean Smith?
No, you just had that PS, okay. Typo.
Oh, sorry.
Please go ahead.
Oh, you can have that line. Go ahead. So SFX, yay!
We have Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah, you know, because she was the white woman who thought she was black, and she was the director of the NAACP, right?
Yeah, in Washington State.
Yeah. And we have the great musical entertainer who's also dead, Mr. Al Jolson.
I think he's sitting on top of the world.
Sitting on top of the world, but that guy really does look black.
Take a closer look. It's makeup.
Oh wow, you're right. Blackface. Hey, how does he get away with it? If you were, I tried that, we'd be lynched. But this racist rips off Stephen Foster's catalog, and he becomes the biggest name in Hollywood.
Simple.
How does that happen?
Simple. Al Jolson's real name was Asa Yolson, Lithuanian Jew and son of a rabbi.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So I take it back. He wasn't a racist. He's what you call a humanitarian. All right. So that's all the material I got. You got one more, right?
Yeah, but who's the winner?
The winner's Elizabeth Warren. All this other banter was just who's going to accept it for her because Elizabeth Warren couldn't come.
Oh, okay.
So Al Jolson and Sean Smith and whatever her name is.
All right, great.
Rachel Dolezal come up to accept the award.
All right, you fake black people.
I was trying to squeeze all the comedy I could out of that.
Good. Hey, fake black people, come up and accept Pocahontas' award. Accept Pocahontas' whitey. All right, we'll have fun with that.
You could have Mammy or something playing in the background.
I could have Mammy. I was going to have Sitting on Top of the World because I kind of like that song.
Sitting on Top of the World.
Yep. And also going to have, like, Indian War chants in the background.
Okay, well, I've got some other jokes and questions that are kind of half-written, but that's all I got tonight, but I'll...
Okay, I got one more category. Oh,
okay.
And then one more category, and then one more thing I want to do, which I'll move toward the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, next category, the most devious aspect of the Coup d'etat, which is not necessarily the overthrow of Donald Trump, but the effective emasculation of Donald Trump. That is the Coup d'etat. And
I didn't know we stood the word Coup d'etat after the impeachment died.
Well, the impeachment...
Coup d'etat is still alive and kicking?
The Coup d'etat is still alive and kicking, because it takes on so many different forms.
I see. I thought they couldn't get him, so they just decided to nuke the whole world economy.
Well, we are going to see. So, the first nominee is the Russiagate/Mueller probe. You remember that?
Yeah, it's been a while, but I remember it.
Oh, those were the days.
Wow, going on like 2 whole years now.
Those were the days, framing General Flynn and then having that Rod Rosenstein guy say, "Oh, you should fire FBI Director Comey." And then when he fired FBI Director Comey, then Rod Rosenstein appointed a special investigator, Robert Mueller, to investigate.
Yep.
Next category, next nominee is the Ukrainian phone call hoax slash impeachment. You remember that? Oh, it seems like it was just yesterday. In fact, actually, I think it was just a couple of months ago. Donald Trump, he calls up the president of the Ukraine.
Okay, yep.
Because Joe Biden got corn pop onto the board of directors of some company or whatever. And next thing you know, yeah.
It was a gas company, I think.
Gas company. Gas company, obviously not a North Korean gas company, because they're I hear they're hoarding their gas.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, Trump is impeached. Next nominee is the Corona Apocalypse. We have to shut down our economy so Big Mama doesn't catch the flu.
Yes, I remember before everything got shut down, CNN was criticizing Donald Trump for shaking hands with other world leaders and stirring up fear and making everybody think they may have the coronavirus if they touch somebody else on the hand.
That's right. Then
Dr. Fauci comes out and says, we can never shake hands with anybody ever again.
But you can hook up with people on Tinder.
They say we're young and we don't.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong.
Put my arms around you, and we'll rock till break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven. Oh yeah,
me. Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
Shut down. CNN was criticizing Donald Trump for shaking hands with other world leaders and stirring up fear and making everybody think they may have the coronavirus if they touch somebody else on the hand. And then Dr. Fauci comes out and says, we can never shake hands with anybody ever again.
But you can hook up with people on Tinder.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Sure.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. So I guess instead of shaking hands, are we just going to be shaking genitals?
Maybe. Maybe that'll be the new reality.
The new reality. Okay. And the final nominee for the most devious aspect of the coup d'etat is... Hold on! Ivanka and Jared. I think that's self-explanatory.
Is it?
I think so. Ivanka and Jared, at every time, well, Ivanka, who got her daddy to bomb Syria twice because she wanted a pony, and Jared, who after Trump tweets that he is going to shut down all immigration, gets him to modify it to say, I'm not going to shut down all immigration.
I'm only going to shut down the immigration that's already been shut down.
Yes, indeed.
Because of the coronavirus.
And the most devious aspect of the coup d'etat is Ivanka and Jared. Ivanka and Jared could not be here to accept their whitey because they are in the White House or 666 Fifth Avenue scheming up new aspects of the coup d'etat.
Well, I have to say, Dr. Slattery, not that I wish ill on anybody, but just hypothetically, if Jared and Jared alone were to drop dead of COVID-19, I think we'd be okay. I think Ivanka is safe.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. Now, this punk Stony Phil here, I just want to tell you one thing. I did not come out of my burrow today and see my shadow and freak out. The whole thing is a giant scam by the heating oil industry. It is a heating oil industry, and I just want to say, no shadows for oil. That is me for this year. Tune in next year to the Whiteys, the Graham Choice Awards. And that's me from Punxsutawney, over and out.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.